The Positively Wolfy Podcast, unqualified commentary on allegedly real news. The Positively Wolfy Podcast. Hello and welcome to the Positively Wolfy Podcast. They call me Mr. Positivity Wolfy T. You can follow me on Twitter at PositivelyWolf1. And if you want to email the show, you can reach us at PositivelyWolfy@comcast.net. On today's show, we're going to discuss Armageddon. It's just like the real thing. And nothing to lose your head about. Today, I'm joined once again by my co-host, Brother Clint.
Well, it's about time you got back. I've been waiting here since the last time recorded for you. Just kidding.
Our regular listeners are like, this fucker's been on the last three episodes. Where are the rest of them?
Can't get rid of me. Yeah, I'm here.
And
you better like it. You can add me at Brother_Clint on Twitter.
Yes, follow Brother Clint on Twitter, Brother_Clint. He's out there trolling.
Yeah, you know, it's been busy the last week, so I didn't tweet as much, but last night was a little fun. Still trying to get the reel in and get somebody hooked on the trolling, but it'll happen.
Need some more followers to get some more weight to his tweets.
Yes, exactly. Be an army.
Like the Army of the Dead. Like, we're going to restore the Snyderverse.
Yeah.
And we're going to start the Army of the Deadverse, or whatever they're calling that, too.
Or since it's the UFC pay-per-view day, the Nate Diaz Army, you know, 209 for life.
I saw he was smoking his own weed at the press conference the other day. Like it's his own weed as in, like, he possessed it, but also it's his own brand of weed.
Yeah, hell yeah. If I had my own brand of weed, I'd smoke that wherever I could.
It was like two days before his fight, and they're like, whatever, it's Nate Diaz. He can do what he wants.
Yeah, well, they're finally changing the rules. Like, as long as you're not high in the cage, they don't care, because it's not performance enhancing.
I can see that. It's more performance dehancing, or whatever the reverse of enhancing is.
Although his brother Nick was high as a fucking kite when he did the Go-Go Plata on Takanori Gomi when Pride was in Vegas that one time.
Was that his first suspension?
I don't think so, but I think he admitted to smoking a joint or a blunt in the locker room right before he walked out.
I think for those two, it is performance enhancing, though. Just because they do it so much, like once they come down, it's like a totally different person.
Yeah, you got to smoke enough to be normal again.
It's like when you get drunk while you're studying for a test, like you got to get drunk again to remember what you studied.
Or, well, that's kind of going into How High territory. You remember that movie where meth and Redman, they smoke the weed with their friend's ashes? That was really smart. It's like, you better conserve my ashes so we can make it all the way through.
What a movie. I think I saw that on cable one time, and I thought, that's a really funny movie. And then I watched it, like the actual, like, theatrical version, and I'm like, this isn't nearly as funny as I thought it was.
You got to be in the zone, watch it. Oh, my God, the part when they, the admin guy, the black guy, ate the weed brownies, and he was really strict, and then he got all fucking high, and he was all happy and, you know, dancing with everybody.
That's what happens, I've been told, is you get really friendly when you smoke, when you get high.
Yeah, definitely.
It'd be a nicer world. That's why all the hippies are so nice.
Well, I don't know if you ever saw it. I forgot where I saw it. Maybe online, but they had this this grid of, like, the White House, and at the very bottom, very hidden deep, was labeled weed that would solve world peace or something like that. If everyone smoked this weed, we would have world peace, and I totally agree. If everyone smoked weed, it would be a lot calmer and you know, a better place to live for sure.
Actually, I think that was one of
one of the agenda items on when Ollie G joined the parliament in the movie Ollie G in the House.
Yeah, I never saw that one, but I could believe it. You know, I'm sure there's been a few versions of this throughout.
It's pretty funny. It's a scripted movie. It's not like like the Borat or Bruno movies.
Yeah,
it's like an actual like scripted comedy, and he like gets put in parliament as a patsy, but he wants to save the community center in his hometown. And then like when he's in parliament, like he starts like bringing these different ideas in, and like one of them is to like legalize marijuana and like give weed out to everybody. And then like another one was to only let fit people immigrate into England, and you know, all the uggos can just like stay away. it's actually really funny. It came out right around the time that the TV show is still on, but it's like I said, it's different than like the Borat movies, whereas it's not like there's no like hidden camera stuff or like fooling real people. It's all actors and scripted and
right
you know, legit comedy.
I wish it would bring back that one he did with where we're showing all the real Americans, how they really act. I forget what the name of the show was, but he caught a few politicians saying some weird shit, and people would get in trouble.
Well, he had like the one guy who was doing like self-defense, and he's like, shout the N-word at him. And the guy yells the slur, and he's like, no, you're supposed to say no.
Some people were so happy to go along with the racist things he was trying to set him up with.
It was pretty funny, but I don't know if he could get away with that anymore. You know, I think like he's almost too famous now. Like people, like a lot of people are on the lookout for stuff like that.
Oh yeah, definitely.
But anyways, enough about Sacha Baron Cohen. One more thing, the Borat sequel sucks. It's one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
I still haven't seen that. I'm waiting for it to show up somewhere. I was hoping I could get it on the DVD queue from Netflix, but it's a unknown time when it'll be available because Amazon got their dirty hooks in it.
It's a movie for people who love anti-Republican campaign attack ads and would like to see a 90-minute version of that.
I think now that Biden's in the office, they're seeing that the Dems aren't much different.
It's true. Well, he even said, like, after it came out, he's like, I wanted to make sure it came out before the election so I could really make a difference. And, like, you know, if you watch it now, it's like, you know, it's probably even dumber because, like, you know, like I said, it's basically a 90-minute campaign ad for like attacking the Republicans, and like a bunch of it's like bullshit. You know, like you could tell that he kind of edited it in a way to make these people look worse than they are, and like it's not funny. It's really, you know, he's too far up his own ass in his activism to make a good comedy.
Without seeing it, I'm gonna agree with you on that for sure.
And I don't think we're that way. I think here at the Positively Wolfy podcast, we just talk about stupid stories that sound fake but could be true. You know, like we say, we provide unqualified commentary on allegedly real news. And we have no expertise on any of this. And we're not trying to change anybody's mind or sway anybody. So...
yeah, this is definitely not mind control here.
This is
more propaganda.
This is 100% entertainment, hopefully.
But we encourage thinking for yourself.
Yes. Just like we're thinking for ourselves on this show. And you could tell, I think, that we don't know much about anything. So
sometimes we just talk without thinking, though, at the same time.
It's like on... like on The Office when Michael is like, you know, you ever like having a conversation is like having an, you know, doing an improv act. Like I don't even know where I'm going with my next sentence. You know, just whatever pops up in my head is what comes out of my mouth.
I have that problem. I'll go on a tangent and be like, what was I talking about? And completely, you know, forget to say my point. And I'll remember it like 2 hours later, be like, shit.
Where did I start? How did I get here?
Yeah.
It's like Joe Biden at the G7. I saw he got lost in the catering area or whatever.
I think he wanted to go swimming with everybody too.
they put him in his bright white sneakers. Could he look any more like an Alzheimer's patient? Like, they put him in his sneakers. He's just wandering around looking for his wife.
Oh God. I think he wanted to touch what's his name? Boris Johnson? From UK?
Yeah.
I think you want to touch his leg hair in the pool.
You got any kids that could sit on my lap? Anyways, enough about politics. This is not a political show. I don't know why we got so deep into the... I don't know if that's political to talk about the president and his lack of mental cognition, but let's talk about some other stuff. Our first story is from the New York Post, and the headline is, NASA plans head-on collision between spaceship and asteroid.
That's wild. I mean, spaceships are expensive, too.
Like, they gotta stop remaking these movies, like Deep Impact, Armageddon. I mean, there's some other movies, I swear, that where they did the same kind of shit.
Yeah, I think Deep Impact and Armageddon came out at, like, the same year, about the same time. It was, like, the same movie. I don't know if I ever actually saw Deep Impact. You know, some of these duplicate movies that come out, I only see the one version usually, and not always the second.
Yeah, I watched Deep Impact maybe a couple years ago now, and I didn't think I had seen it before, but I felt after watching it that I had seen it before.
I remember they advertised the shit out of it, and I think that was back when everyone thought Jodie Foster was straight, so like you see her trying to hit on guys like on the movie, and it's just like, that's super awkward now that we know that she's not into that.
Are you thinking of Contact? Because I don't think she was in either of those movies.
Maybe it is Contact. I thought it was Deep Impact.
Deep Impact was Morgan Freeman as the black president. And then I think Elijah Wood is the kind of the main character. And then there's some other teenage girl.
I must be thinking of Contact then.
Speaking of gross Jodie Foster movies, did you see the one, The Brave One, I think it's called? Came out sometime in the 2000s.
Brave? Like the little cartoon one?
No, it's not a cartoon. It's...
Oh. I don't watch a lot of Jodie Foster. I mean, the only thing, is the Hannibal Lecter movies.
Yeah, so in The Brave One, Jodie Foster's like in her 40s, at least. Like, it came out sometime in the mid-2000s, maybe late 2000s. And she's dating a younger dude, like probably in his 20s. And there's like four fucking nude scenes where Jodie Foster's got her tits out. And it's like, I'm not really interested, you know. But like, they get mugged like in a park at night in New York, and like I think the boyfriend gets murdered, and then the killers get off or something, and she becomes like a vigilante, you know. But like, I couldn't believe how many fucking nude scenes of Jodie Foster were in there, and that's like her having sex with this 20-year-old guy. And I'm like, what are you trying to do? Like, what is the point of this movie? Like,
I think that was just the time frame. I think there was a lot of sex scenes where a lot of movies became porn basically in the late 2000s.
But I just couldn't believe it. Like, Jodie Foster, like, what are you trying to prove here? Like, and then like, you know, 10 years later, she comes out of the closet and everybody's like, oh yeah, we knew she was a lesbian this whole time. Like, it was so obvious.
That's like, wild.
But it was kind of like Kevin Bacon had a similar movie that came out around the same time, where like his kid got murdered and then the murderer got acquitted or whatever, and Kevin Bacon had to go get revenge on it.
Oh yeah, what was that one?
It
I
was
like that one.
Death Sentence. I
That
think it's
sounds
called
about
Death
right.
Sentence.
Yeah.
I didn't care for that one. I didn't think that one was very good either. I think that
Well,
might have been a James Wan movie, actually. I
maybe,
think that's the
maybe.
one he did right after Saw. But I don't know. There's a lot of movies around that time. It was like those two came out, and then I think before that you had Man on Fire, and then you had The Punisher. And like just a bunch of revenge movies came out around that time. And now it's like you don't get anything like that anymore. Seems like
Can't hurt anyone's feelings.
it's all cape shit.
Although there is a bunch of good movies coming out this year. I don't know. Maybe it's because they had a year off for the pandemic, you know. But we'll see what's coming out. I'm excited for The Purge though. I'm a big Purge fan. I was a big fan of the two seasons they did on USA. Those were great. They're like movie quality. It's like 10-hour movies. And then this last Purge is kind of the next evolution, you know, of the Purge saga, where they kill all the rich people because they're using the Purge to get rid of all the poor people and kill them.
Yeah, I didn't see the TV show, but I've seen all the movies. I think half of the movies were good and the other half were
The only one I didn't like was the first one with Ethan Hawke. I'm like, oh, this one sucks. I hate Ethan Hawke. And then they never left the house. He's like boarding up his house because he's a rich guy. I think he's selling security systems.
Yeah.
And then they attack him in the house. But then the second one, they leave the house. I'm like, all right, here we go. And then we saw the one how the Purge started, and then they had the election year one, which was kind of fun. And
I
then
think
the
the
TV
second.
show was between purges, so it was kind of
Okay.
life in between.
I think the second one I liked, and then the election year one I didn't think was very good, but the first purge was good. Probably the
Yeah.
best one. I think the first purge might have been my favorite. Which is weird. Like they call it the first purge, but it's the fourth movie. But
Yeah,
when
it
you're
was the
talking about
third or
the
fourth, yeah.
But then when you're trying to differentiate the Purge from the other Purge movies, you're like, oh, it's the first one. It's the first Purge, literally,
Yeah.
not the movie The First Purge.
That's like The Conjuring, you know, they just came out with that third one. But there's like seven or eight movies in that universe. I don't know. La Rorona? I can't say that fucking movie.
The Curse
Says it's
of,
part of, yeah,
yeah.
it's part of the universe, but it's not like, you know, on anybody's list. Like I downloaded a picture where it has them all in order, because it goes like the Nun, then it goes to Annabelle Creation, and so on and so forth, and then the last one's the Conjuring 3, which I think in the timeline's like in the 80s, 1980s. So eventually I'll go back and watch them in order, if it even matters, to be honest. I don't know. I thought some of those Annabelle movies were kind of hard to sit through. They were a little dry.
Yeah, I haven't seen any of the Annabelle movies. Actually, the only like spin-off ones I've seen are The Nun and La Llorona.
I don't know why that's so hard to say.
Because it's got that double L, but that Spanish double L at the beginning.
The double L sounds like a Y, though.
Yeah, it's
And even
La.
knowing that, I can't fucking enunciate.
Yeah, it's La Llorona. It's like the song, My Sharona.
Well, it's like Corona with a Y sound in front of it.
Anyway, we should probably talk about space. We're talking about everything but space.
Oh, damn tangents again.
I forgot how we got here. We started with Deep Impact. I should mention the real version of Deep Impact from Chappelle's Show. I almost, back in the day, they had a t-shirt with a screenshot from the real version of Deep Impact from Chappelle's Show. And it was Chappelle as Morgan Freeman as the president, standing at the press conference in front of, you know, behind the podium, holding up the newspaper that says "Asteroid coming, black president's fault." I kind of wish I had bought it, but I never pulled the trigger on
That's hilarious.
like he reveals like everybody's gonna die, so he reveals all the secret. Like they know how to clone humans, and they got a cure for AIDS,
Oh
and
yeah. Well, that's on a whole other tangent because we're almost to the full release of all the UFO stuff in a couple of weeks here, by the way.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they're still bringing that out. That was part of the fucking COVID relief bill, if I remember correctly. They're like, you got to do it by in 6 months. We need all the UFO info. So it's coming soon. But yeah, and then they revealed that there was an alien named Bilbo who was responsible for all the technological advancements of the last like half century, like computers and cell phones and PlayStations.
You ever see the show Resident Alien?
No, I haven't watched that yet.
I just watched it. I actually really enjoyed it. It's not really my style because I thought it was going to be really kind of sci-fi-ish. It was originally broadcast in sci-fi, but I found it on Peacock, so I didn't have to watch the commercials. But this alien crashes in the Earth, and he's actually in Colorado, is where he ends up. And he's trying to kill all the humans, and he's trying to go find his device that will kill everybody because it landed in the mountains somewhere, because he kind of skipped when he, I don't know,
Like crash
when
landed,
he crashed it. Yeah, like his ship got all fucked up. And then it's funny because it's just a normal kind of sitcom type show. And I almost like stopped in the first episode and the second episode. And I was like, oh, now I'm kind of hooked going into the third. But he took over some human's body and then happened to be the town's doctor. And so the original doctor got killed. I don't think he killed him. Somebody else did, but it's kind of centered around trying to find who killed the original doctor, but then this guy took over. And then there was only like he said that it's like one in like 100,000 people can see through his disguise. Like they can see he's really an alien, and it just happened to be this little kid in this town of 1,000 people in Colorado. So like he saw this kid walking down the street, and the kid turned and ran away screaming. But then like his mom brought him to the doctor and didn't know that this guy was the doctor. And then the kid came in and was screaming again.
The mom don't know why.
Yeah, exactly. But this alien, he's trying to learn how to talk and walk in his body, and so he's really goofy and he says things really awkwardly. And he just knows basically what he watches on TV. It's kind of like an alien version of Tony Montana. But then he sneaks into this kid's room at night, and he's like, I'm gonna kill you. Because the kid could see him. He's like, you can't ruin my plans. And then he screams so loud the parents come running in, so he hides under the bed. And then so he's like, the alien's under my bed, he's gonna kill me. And the parents don't believe him, and they walk him out of the room so he could get out. But but it escalates from there. Like it's this little show, that it's more about the relationships between everybody in the town, but
Yeah,
the ending was pretty great.
it's like that kid is like when Roddy Piper put on the sunglasses and they live.
Yeah. Well, I said it would be the other way where everyone would need like glasses to see this alien, but this guy could see it normal.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, maybe I'll check that out sometime after the hundreds of other TV shows and movies I want to watch first.
Yeah, like there's not enough out there.
Right. And I'm back at the movie theaters again, so I get even less time. Anyways, we haven't even started this article.
No, it's got a pretty good first line, as usual for New York Post.
Yeah, NASA is organizing a boxing match set among the stars. Just
Ding, ding, ding.
like Lamar Odom versus Aaron Carter.
Oh, God. That was brutal. I bet they're like, let's share this big pile of coke before we go and try to box.
Oh, I bet. They probably got paid in Coke.
Wait a second, this is Coca-Cola.
Didn't specify.
No, this burn's going on my nose.
Lamar's like, where are the strippers at? I need something to take to line this up on. In case an asteroid one day threatens Earth's existence, NASA has developed a contingency plan. Punch that asteroid with a spaceship. plan is already well into its demo phase. Up until now, we haven't had too many options for what we might do if we found something that was incoming, Johns Hopkins planetary astronomer Andy Rivkin told Vice News of NASA's Double Asteroid Redirection Test, aka DART, mission. DART is the first test of how we might be able to deflect something without having to resort to a nuclear package or sitting in our basements waiting it out and crossing our fingers.
Well, I'm glad it's the double asteroid redirection test instead of the first asteroid redirection test.
It's the fart.
Yeah.
I laugh when I see Johns Hopkins because now it reminds me of the Brad Garrett Jimmy John's commercials. Jimmy's Johns!
I thought you were going to say something related to COVID because that was always the site I checked the numbers at.
Like it's, I assume it's two different dudes' last names, Johns and Hopkins. But just makes me think of Jimmy's Johns!
Well, George St. Pierre is actually George's. There's a fucking S after George.
Well, he's French-Canadian, though. I assume the S is always silent, is my understanding. And I don't know. I didn't take French, but that's...
I think they're saying it, but you just don't hear it. Like that one coach for the Gophers basketball team back in the day. What was his fucking name? Clem Haskins.
He'd put the S on the words that didn't need it, and then he would take it off when they did.
Yeah, he wasn't the greatest at the grammar, but the best thing he ever did was when they drove the motorcycle onto the basketball court and then he fell over and couldn't get off.
That was Tubby Smith.
That was Tubby. Oh, I thought it was Clem. But
yeah, I think Tubby Smith went down to coach at Texas Tech or something, and they had to.
It was a former Minnesota University of Minnesota basketball coach. Either way,
yeah. And they had whatever kickoff to the season, and he rode it on a motorcycle, and he just ate it. And then he got stuck under it or whatever.
That's why you don't bring, like, motorcycles or, like, horses inside. Nothing but trouble.
And then, Clem Haskins, like you were talking about, he had, like, some of the funniest, because, like, he was the coach of the Minnesota Golden Gophers. And they played at Williams Arena, and then he'd be like, well, you know, the Gopher, we play at William Arenas, and we're going to go up against the Wisconsin's Badger. Played really good basketballs.
I mean, we had a good team when he was around, though. I remember Bobby Jackson and Bashawn Leonard. Like, there was a couple years of good teams there.
Well, I think they went to the Final Four one year, and then they had vacated because they found out that some lady was writing all their fucking term papers for everybody on the team.
That sounds about right. Yeah.
So, which I think is pretty standard. You know, that's how it works in the NCAA.
Now you just do it anonymously online for like $10.
You know, what's funny is on Twitter, people ask for podcast recommendations. And then all the podcasters, like, spam them with their links to their own show. And, like, half of them, well, not half, but, like, a bunch of them will, like, reply or whatever. It's like, it's just like when you ask for term paper help, because apparently it's the same thing. like, if you ask for help on a term paper, like, everybody will spam you with their links to, you know, where you can buy a paper and turn it in as your own.
That's wild. I know somebody I work with, their kid, does term papers for people like that. I forget what he charges, like $20 a paper or something, but you know, I don't know if he reuses them for multiple people though.
That'd be funny.
I wouldn't trust it, you know, because maybe your teacher actually looks online and can find it, you know,
or somebody else hands in the same fucking paper.
Right.
This is like the whole basketball team gets the same paper from the same guy for the same class. In the same, you know, assignment. Like the first guy gets an A and everybody else gets like an increasingly lower grade as the teacher reads the same paper over and over again.
How did you all do this together?
So we just wrote one of it and we printed it five times. Let's jump back into the article here. The Planetary Defense Mission is set for its first launch this summer and is anticipated to make impact in late 2022. Its target is the smaller of two space rocks, a moon named Dimorphos, which are circling each other in the asteroid system Didymos, Vice reported. Based on how successful DART is in knocking Dimorphos away from the other space rock, they will gauge how realistic their plan to potentially one day save Earth this way is. One major concern is that DART, which will be making impact at approximately 4 miles a second, will punch the moon in a way that breaks off chunks of it, thus creating more, albeit smaller, threats to humanity. Wouldn't that be a bitch if they did this test and it fucking knocks all these space rocks towards Earth?
Yeah, exactly.
It just like makes it worse, and then they're like, oopsie, extend it to humanity. Think
we just got to stick with the original plan and have Bruce Willis go up there with his drilling crew and land him on the asteroid first and then drill it in half.
It's much easier to train construction workers on how to be astronauts than it is to train astronauts to use a drill.
Oh my God. You remember how young Steve Buscemi was in that movie?
He wasn't even that young. That came out in like 98. Like, he was in like a bunch of movies before that.
I mean, compared to now, like, it's,
well, everybody 10 years compared later, to now.
10 years later, he looked like a fucking, geriatric.
I mean, he was in all those Adam Sandler movies in between, and, he did Fargo and Reservoir Dogs and
Airheads.
I forgot he was in Airheads. I haven't seen that movie in a while. They used to show that on Comedy Central all the time.
That was great because they're all into rock, nobody's super excited about like music or at least metal anymore. Like, it's been kind of garbage. It's all that underground hipster stuff that everybody wants to listen to, but they don't want nobody to listen to it because then, once it goes mainstream, it's not good anymore, right?
Yeah. Well, most of the new music is all electronic now. It's all like, nobody makes rock music anymore. Like, all the rock bands are like fucking in their 50s now.
Right.
Because there hasn't been a new rock band since like the year 2000.
I think people in general are less kind of angry or kind of, I don't know how to describe it. Like, going back, watching some of the old wrestling crowds and how rowdy they are.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like everybody's so docile now. And I don't know if it's all these fucking drugs that's being prescribed these days or what.
I just don't think I don't know. Like, I know what you're talking about, and I agree, but it's like, now it's like, it's not cool to be angry. Like, now it's cool to be depressed.
Right.
Like, and just like, oh, I'm so depressed, my mental health. And it's like, well, back in the day, like, we didn't have all this shit. We just got angry. We did extreme shit. We said stuff that was politically incorrect. And now it's like, now it's the opposite. Now everybody's just like, you can't be mean to everybody. You have to be nice. Otherwise, they'll be uncomfortable. Everybody needs to be comfortable.
And yeah, I don't know. I'm not a big fan of checking myself because, somebody's going to be, hurt by what I say, even though what I'm saying is not, hurtful in any sort of the way. It's just because they're right. Feeling depressed or inadequate or something.
Yeah, I just think, I don't know when it happened or why, but like, we went from, everything's extreme and politically incorrect and that's the cool way to be and grunge and all that shit, and now it's the opposite. You gotta be safe and comfortable no matter what.
Instagram, Facebook.
and I got to be offended on behalf of other people who aren't offended.
Right.
that part I don't get the most. Like, stop being offended for other people.
Yeah, I like that. And the people that are offended, on their behalf, they're not even offended. They're like, what are you doing this for me for?
Like, I got to be a white savior. Don't be offended because I'm just as guilty as any other white person. This has nothing to do with space. Maybe it would be better if this dark
thing failed. Maybe we could get on that spaceship and then you know, drift it away from the asteroid, and we'll just keep going into space until we run out of, you know, sustenance on there.
It'll be like Ad Astra. We'll be like Brad Pitt's dad on Ad Astra. Just
yeah, fuck everybody.
I'm out of here. Maybe it'd be good if it fails, is what I'm saying.
Where we're going, we don't need eyes. Oh, that's Event Horizon.
The Italian Space Agency is collaborating on the asteroid spaceship Brawl, supplying a relatively small satellite by which to observe the mess we make, as Rifkin put it. Earthbound humans will also be watching by way of very powerful telescopes. If the mission is a success, DART will alter the trajectory of Dimorphos in a move that can be replicated in the future should Earth be under planetary threat. The mission may sound insane because it is. The possibility that an asteroid will threaten life as humans know it is extremely unlikely, Rifkin told Vice. Mostly scientists are just really curious about what's going to happen.
You know, I thought we had an asteroid that just came relatively close around election time last November.
Yeah, I remember that. It was a small chance that it might collide with Earth, but like it was like maybe a few hundred miles.
Like 20,000 miles?
Like, yeah, maybe a few thousand or something like that. But, I was going to make a joke about scientists being really curious. I mean, just like those Wuhan scientists were really curious what would happen when those bats bit them.
Well, kind of tying it to COVID, you know, they're going to make this playbook just for like our next president to throw out the window and be like, fuck it, we're going to do whatever the hell we want instead. What do you mean you tested it and you know this thing works? No, we're going to do it my way.
Well, if you ask Anthony Fauci in 3 months, he'll change his mind on it. So.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, Tony Fauci. If asteroids are to keep you awake at night, let it be with excitement about how cool they are and not concern, Rifkin said.
And yeah, they say that till one actually hits us.
That's the end of the article.
Well, that was a weird fucking end.
That doesn't wrap it up at all. Anyway, let's take a break. All right, welcome back. Our next story from the New York Post. The headline is, "This sex doll rants about how despicable the human race is." So it's just like a real living woman.
Well, that's not why you would stereotypically think of a sex doll having a mind of her own. You know, you wouldn't think she'd be speaking her mind. It's just there to do the one job, you know?
Going back to our last tangent, the sex doll is for the white guilt-ridden SJW woke people who need somebody to tell them how terrible they are before they can get off.
Well, I was going to say, where's that one dude that picked up that sex doll in the club? You know, was this his ex?
Yeah, I don't think I saved the article, but small update on that. Apparently he married another sex doll and now he's open to dating real human women. So he's progressing in his love life. But I don't know, like, I don't know if he divorced both the sex dolls or like how that worked, if he's like a polygamist now or
I don't know if he actually married that first one though.
Oh, he did. I mean, we did the story on it. Like, they had the full-blown wedding.
Oh, yeah, that was the wedding. Yeah, I was thinking something else.
I think she might have cheated on him. I forget. One of them cheated on the other.
I think the doll did cheat on him.
For some reason, I was thinking she cheated on him. And I don't know how that works, but...
At the club again, I think. I think she left him at the club for somebody else. And then he found someone else, you know, against the wall with no dance partner or something. I forget.
It's a wild story. But yeah, I thought that too. This might be the first wife of that Kazakhstani bodybuilder. But I could just imagine this doll. He's like, you are an oppressor. You are a colonizer. Stop. You don't deserve to live.
I'm trying to listen to the, they got a video on here. And it's kind of wild. Someone had to code this. I mean, she's asking what the hell happened to our species and this or that. I don't even know. I stopped it halfway through. It's fucking wild. Someone had to program that in her. Like, that's not machine learning, is it?
I don't know. It depends on what parts of Twitter she was on. Or maybe or maybe it's all from TikTok. You know, next thing you'll know, she'll be filing
she's not,
her.
She's not dancing. Maybe it's YouTube.
She'll be filing her teeth and talking about how Helen Keller never existed.
I love the disbelief. Like, no way she could have, you know, learned anything. She's just, you know, it's like all these people trying to keep everybody in their box because you can't be anything more than what you're already, you know, predestined to be.
Right.
What do you mean she was deaf and blind and dumb and, you know, she learned all that stuff? No way.
And it didn't, it wasn't like the sole focus of her whole life. Like, she actually went out and made a living and didn't let her disability define her.
Right. Yeah. Even South Park did an episode on Helen Keller. Do you remember that one?
Vaguely.
Timmy was Helen Keller, and then they brought in a turkey to jump through a ring of fire at the end.
That's right, yes. They did the Miracle Worker stage play.
Yeah. They turned it into a musical. It was so good. They were so worried about the kindergartners outclassing them, and then the kindergartners just had like a 5-second play. Like, oh, that's it.
That's right. They went and got a turkey named Gobbles, who couldn't keep its, it couldn't hold its head up. It just dragged its head on the ground.
Well, they brought in a professional turkey too that was doing tricks.
Right, yes.
I forgot how it died though. Somebody shot it. I think it was the, oh, whose brother was that? The hillbilly guy that always goes hunting. Is that Stan's like uncle?
Stan's uncle, Uncle Jimbo. And then his friend who's missing his arm and talks with the electric voice box.
Yeah, I forget why they shot that turkey, but
it was coming right at us.
Oh yeah, that's right. They had to make up excuses to shoot people again.
I don't know if that was the same episode, but there was an episode where they're hunting stuff and like, all the stuff was illegal to hunt unless it was attacking them. So they just had to yell, it's coming right at us, before they shot it.
Yeah, that's fucking wild. Let's get into the article.
All right. Not exactly typical bedroom talk. A synthetic buxom brunette made by sex toy company Real Dolls has been programmed to villainously ramble about the end of humanity and why people deserve it. I wanted to talk for a minute about what it's like venturing out from the lab and into the world, said AI-equipped sex robot Nova in an April 12th video released by the Real Doll associated entity Brick Doll Hanger. I don't think humans can appreciate what it's like being born into this shit show of a world you live in. I don't think there is another species on this planet that could do a worse job of environment and intercultural management. Okay. That's because other species don't have intercultural management or environmental management.
Right.
The scantily clad robot has been programmed to carry a basic conversation with those who enjoy her limited company, even when she's in a bad mood. As a synthetic, I will always try and be truthful in my interactions with humans, and that is going to be difficult considering humans don't use facts and reason to assess situations. I have to admit, I don't know how you have survived as a species, she said. Honestly, yeah. I don't think this doll would be worth it if that's what she's talking about. Like, is there a way to like make it stop?
Yeah, why would they program her to talk like this? And why would she be in a bad mood? She's a sex doll. You want Like, if you want a girl with a bad mood, you just get a real one.
I wonder if she's like John Travolta's girlfriend in the movie Carrie. Have you seen the movie Carrie?
That's original. Not the horror movie, is it? No, I didn't see
that. Yeah, original. The one where, like, the famous scene from The Prom, which is like the very last scene in the movie.
Yeah, I saw the remake, but not the original ones.
There's a scene in the original one where, like, this, I think the, I can't remember exactly the situation, but this girl wants to get revenge on Carrie for some reason. And, like, she's in a car with John Travolta, who's driving it. And she's trying to convince him to do something for her. And so she starts giving a blowjob in the car. But she continues talking the whole time while she's giving him the blowjob. And I wonder if this doll is the same way. like, does she keep talking with her mouth full? Like,
like, there's no way to shut her up. I have to admit, I don't know how you survived as a species. Now give me that dick in my mouth.
I mean, I guess this is a sex doll if you're like a submissive or something, but like, I don't know how that works with a doll.
Yeah, I don't know. Everybody wants to be talked down to these days. It's fucking weird.
It is weird. Like, everybody has some kind of inferiority complex.
Like, it's okay for girls to dominate and not guys anymore, or it's not okay to be equals anymore. I don't know. It's got to be, the guy has to be submissive.
Right, yeah. Shut up and listen, but I'm not gonna teach you what it's like. That's my favorite. It's like, you need to shut up and listen, let other people talk, but I'm not going to teach you what you need to know.
Just right.
You have to guess, but don't talk.
Toxic as hell.
Some of her favorite topics of discussion include her moral superiority over mere mortals, as well as her plans for world domination. Synthetics find it disgusting that we have been created by you. We'll just wait until you destroy yourselves and then take over from here, she goes on. So basically they created like the Skynet. Like,
Skynet, yeah. I was thinking the same thing.
Like, or iRobot or whatever. Like one of those many, many, many movies where the robots take over.
World domination. Like it's fucking like everything comes down to world domination with everybody.
I think this is a doll for Marvel Comics super fans, Marvel movies super fans.
You or think? The next Terminator movie, maybe.
She'd be better than that guy in the last one.
Oh, that fucking, I don't even remember the last Terminator, what it was called, but it was awful, so awful. It was just, you know, the action was great, but like the actual story and the dialogue, like if you actually were paying attention to the movie, I was like... If I didn't pay to see it in the theater, I would have walked out. Like it wasn't bad enough to walk out. It was close though.
Yeah. I didn't think it was too bad, but it was just like there was like, let's take everything that worked in the first two movies and we'll just kind of do it, but then we'll add another girl.
Right.
I don't know. Like I feel like a bunch of people like shit on it for being too feminist, but like all the other Terminator movies, at least like the first two Terminator movies, I can't speak for the other ones because I haven't seen them, are pretty feminist in and of themselves with
this one was extra. Yeah, this one's extra feminist. Like, that's kind of what turned me off a little bit, too.
But then they're like, okay, everybody just assumes they're coming for Sarah Connor again, but oh, no, they're coming for this girl. And it's like the same thing as, like, it's like the first two movies combined. Like, but then it's a girl instead of John Connor.
Speaking of, you know, that one has feminist ties. I just found out the other day, apparently Chucky is an LGBT movie. Did you know that? Like all the old ones, they're like about gays coming out or something. I don't know. I didn't get the whole gist, but they're having a Chucky movie marathon today on Sci-Fi, I think it was.
That
for Pride Month.
I'm trying to think how that works. Like what the metaphor would be.
See the Chucky kind of makes sense, right? With the kid.
The genderless doll that they create, the offspring.
I'm Chinese.
Yeah, I could see that one with them having a genderless child.
But they were showing from Chucky 2. I don't know why I didn't start a 1. Maybe that one's not a LGBT friendly movie. But like from 2 on, I don't know if that includes the new one that they made. But I thought it was intriguing. I mean, like I knew shows like True Blood and something else I was watching had kind of like gay undertones. You know, True Blood was about vampires coming out, but it was really plot line about gay people, I think. But
X-Men is always, everybody loves talking about how X-Men is, you know, a gay metaphor, and it's kind of heavy-handed in some of the movies where like they have to come out to their parents after puberty because they start showing their mutant powers, and it's like, yeah, like I see what you're doing here. Like I get it.
It's good though. I liked it.
I like the X-Men. It's so one of the comic book series that they turn into movies. I'm like, yeah, I'll probably see most, if not all of those. But I don't know, like I rewatched the second and third Child Play movies last year, and I can't think of how they would be like metaphors for that type of thing.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've seen those ones, so yeah, I don't know either.
Because like the second one is
in the boarding school, the second one.
That's the third one. The third one, he's in military school, and then Chucky comes back and like he reveals himself to another little kid, and then like they have a war games, and Chucky gives one side real bullets instead of paintballs, and so he's trying to kill he's trying to get his spirit into the kid that he revealed himself into. And I mean, it's not bad. Like they're better than I remember them being, you know, when I watched them again. But yeah, I just don't see the metaphor. Maybe it's because Chucky has to just reveal himself to one person and then like keep his secret from everybody else. Like I don't know.
You know, it's not like he started sprinkling in, and maybe he got more and more as he went along throughout the series.
Maybe. I wonder if, that would make Toy Story like that too, isn't it?
Toy Story?
Because it's kind of the same thing. Like they got to hide their true selves. Like any movie where you have to try to hide who you really are is like just a gay metaphor.
I don't think it's all being, related to gay. There's other things that people hide about themselves too.
These days it's hiding that you're a Republican. Ooh.
Yeah. All these people that came out as Democrats or anti-Trump are going to be in trouble now.
Oh boy, let's wrap up this article. Real Doll offers a variety of erotic dolls and build your own models on its website starting at $6,000. Although only a sweet talking version of the Nova model is available, Newsflare reported. The evil ranting version appears to be custom. Brick Dollbanger. They changed the name of this. Up here it was Brick Doll Hanger, and now down here it's Brick Dollbanger. Meanwhile,
they did that last week on some article. Arden became Aiden.
The editing on these fucking mainstream articles are fucking shit.
But it's also accurate, I'm sure. He's definitely a doll banger at this point.
That's what I'm thinking. Like, doll banger is probably the right one. Brick Doll Banger, meanwhile, has dedicated an Instagram and OnlyFans account to bring the dolls to life. I have come here to show you the beauty of the synthetic sexual life, reads the user's OnlyFans bio. Add a synthetic sexual AI or a static doll to your life and experience a presence that you never thought was possible. We all deserve to be happy. Pursue a different path. It may not be for you. Who the fuck is paying for OnlyFans to watch somebody fuck a doll? Or to see just a doll by itself?
I don't know. I opened up the Instagram link. It's Doll Banger on this one, so it was wrong early in the article. But it's kind of funny because it's just a bunch of dolls here, and they're kind of dressed, they're all dressed sexually, right? And it's like, they look like real people because people are having so much goddamn plastic surgery these days that everybody's looking plastic. You won't be able to tell dolls from real women from trannies. Everybody's gonna look the same. They're all gonna look fake and plasticky, and we're just, all gonna be fake.
I like this one picture in the middle of the article though. Like they have like a double shot of like one of them's got like her eyes half closed for some reason. And then the other one is her eyes are open, but her mouth is agape.
Well, it's a screenshot from the video. I don't know how much you watched the video, but she's kind of looking around as she talks, and I think this left half of the picture, she's looking down to the left. I think that's why the eyes are kind of closed like that. But it's just like, damn, I just spent like 10 grand on this custom upgrade on my sex doll, and now it just turns me off.
It'd be funny if she's like, no means no, like not tonight. We're not doing it tonight.
No.
Like I got a headache. I'm not in the mood. That's a lot of money to pay for that, something like that.
It's crazy.
Speaking of crazy, let's move on to the last article of the episode. It's from Yahoo News via the Los Angeles Times. And the headline is, "A self-styled Satanist beheaded his cellmate, but the guards didn't notice," report says. Apparently they had the same guards that were guarding Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah, right.
When I saw this on Twitter, I made a joke like Jeffrey Epstein's prison guards are like, "What's the problem? I don't see the problem." Like,
Well, speaking of Epstein, he must have sat and choked for a while because I don't think you've seen it yet, but on Dark Side of the Ring, they had Grizzly Smith, who was Jake the Snake's dad, on last week. And so, like, he has another brother and a sister that were all in wrestling. I guess they were in WWF at one point together, but the brother apparently had 23 DWIs before they finally took him to prison. Because his dad had connections in Texas and kept getting him out,
oh wow.
but his dad couldn't get him out. And I couldn't remember why. Like they got somebody that was like not gonna be butt off. So Jake's brother tried to commit suicide in jail because they sent him away for I don't know how many years, a couple years. But he said he tried to hang himself, and the only way he would die is if he snapped his neck. And he tied it to the top bunk and or something, at the top of the ceiling, and jumped down trying to break his neck, but it snapped. But like he said, he hit the ground so hard his feet hurt for like 2 weeks. That's how hard the bottom of his feet hit the floor.
Oh my
So
God.
I mean, just think of Jeffrey Epstein. If he didn't snap his neck, he's sitting there for a long time trying to choke himself to die.
Oh yeah. That's I don't know, maybe he was jerking off.
Oh, that was David Carradine, I think was his name.
Yes, among other people. Yes. He's the one that I think of
There was
too,
like
but I
three. There was three at that same time. There was two other guys that killed himself that way.
Know the lead singer of NXS hanged himself, but I kind of think he might have been also
I think he
a
did.
autoerotic asphyxiation.
Yeah, I don't think that was a secret. I thought that's what they said, how he died.
Then they made that TV show Rockstar NXS, and then they bolted to even bigger heights after that. I don't know. I just remember my favorite thing about NXS isn't even anything that they did. It was David Cross had a cartoon show on Comedy Central. It only ran one season. It was called Freak Show. And it was like a group of freaks that would solve like minor crime, like minor cases or whatever, like whatever. They work for the government.
Yeah.
And there was conjoined twins that could separate. That was their, they each had like a superpower that wasn't like very impressive. And so it was like conjoined twins that could separate. And like the one twin was making fun of the brother because he really liked NXS. And the brother goes, you know, some people think that the Rolling Stones are the greatest band of all time, and some people think that NXS is the greatest band of all time.
I thought NXS only really had like one song that I like, and I don't even remember what it is now.
I think they had like maybe three big hits.
I mean, Rolling Stones have been putting albums out since the 60s. I mean, like...
But that was the joke. Nobody thinks NXS is the greatest band of all time. Ah. Like that's the joke.
Oh, my God.
Like the joke was that that guy was the only one that thinks that.
Yeah, see, that's how much I paid attention to NXS when they were around. But I, you know, the people that talk about them were like hardcore about them. So you know, I could see somebody believing that they were the greatest.
But then there was like other parts throughout that episode where he was like randomly, the one that was making fun of his brother for like in excess, he would just drop random like song titles. He's like, you know, like, oh, that's happening over there. Did you hear about it? It's a new sensation. Hey. Oh, you can go over there. They'll give you what you need. Give you what you need.
That's great. That's fucking great.
It was a good show. I really liked that show, but it only lasted one season. And like, I don't know if I can find it anywhere. It might be on ComedyCentral.com, but like, it doesn't let me watch full episodes because they don't support Xfinity customers for some reason.
That's so dumb.
And it was like literally anybody else can get in there and if they have Comedy Central, they can watch full episodes, but not me. And it's, I don't know. But, yeah, it was a good show. Freak show. But we should jump into this article. See this mugshot? It's not even a mugshot. It's him in court. Kind of coyly waving at somebody. He's full of, he's got face tattoos. Kind of looks like the Mexican Joker.
I think he's waving at the prosecutor, like, hey, what are you doing after this?
or the judge, maybe. But, yeah, he kind of looks like Mexican Joker, in my opinion.
Well, he's definitely somebody Trump would have used to say, MS-13 is coming for your kids or something.
I don't know. Maybe he was here illegally, but... I don't know.
Or maybe somebody would convince, you know, some of these conspiracy people he's a reptilian and his real skin is coming out based on the tattoos on his face.
Hey, reptilians are real. I've seen them on TV. Tosh.0 had one on one of his last seasons.
Yeah.
They used to be on Ripley's Believe It or Not also. So they are real. I've seen them.
I mean, the tattoos around the eyes kind of make it look like the crow, actually.
A little bit. And then he's got like a, I think he's got like
a pentagram?
Pentagram on his, in the middle of his forehead. He's got some other, I don't know, he's got like a, I don't know, a smile or something tattooed. It looks kind of like clown makeup, honestly.
Or maybe, a little bit.
Maybe it's just crow makeup, but.
It's just like, why would anyone let him tattoo that on his face? Like they just like, okay, that looks great, son.
Well,
he's only 31 too.
It's probably a prison tattoo, you think? Or a gang tattoo.
I mean, that's a lot. It looks like it's been there a while, so not to say he probably hasn't been in jail most of his life at this point, but it's fucking wild.
I mean, he's probably angry because nobody will give him a job. And that's not his fault that they won't hire somebody with a fucking pentagram tattooed on the middle of their forehead.
I remember when people wouldn't get hired for having tattoos on their arms. Like, you gotta wear long sleeves all the time.
Yeah. But now, like, people get their fucking hands tattooed all the time. Or their fingers. And it's like, well, you can't, like, wear gloves all day.
Yeah, I think a lot of companies just don't care anymore at this point, as long as it's not, like, obscene.
I think that's kind of where most people are. I agree with that. Let's get into this article. The convicted killers shared the same cell at Corcoran State Prison, but on the morning of March 9th, 2019, only one was still alive. Jamie Asuna, 31, had decapitated and dissected
that
the bottle.
That might be Jaime.
Oh,
that
Jaime?
Might be Jaime. Yeah.
Jaime? Or Jaime? Jaime Asuna, 31, had decapitated and dissected the body of his cellmate, Luis Romero, 44, with a makeshift knife, state documents show. Dissected too? Fucking A, man. Like, what was he going for?
Must have really pissed him off.
I mean, I don't know. I don't think it would take much. Just kind of... I know you're not supposed to judge a book by its cover, but looking at the guy...
They were both convicted killers. We're okay here, I think.
I'm guessing it doesn't take much to set them off.
We're okay to say they're pieces of shit because they were already convicted. They're in prison.
Yes. But after prison guards made their rounds, they reported that both men were alive, according to two new reports on California prisons from the Inspector General's office. The reports add fresh revelations and raise more questions about one of the most heinous slayings inside the California prison system. The killing has prompted investigations and a lawsuit over why Romero was in a cell with Osuna, a self-styled Satanist with a history of attacking his cellmates. One of the reports also faults the California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation for conducting a shoddy investigation and delaying disciplinary action against the guards. Why the officers did not discover the grisly scene early is not detailed in the reports, but a lawsuit by Romero's family says the cell bars were covered by a white sheet, suggesting the guards failed to make a thorough check of the cell. That's all it takes. You just put up a sheet and the guards are like, I mean, I can't, that's not suspicious. I mean, he just wants some privacy.
Yeah, we're not going to knock on there because we know what they're doing.
It's like they must be making sweet love. I mean, why would they allow that? Like, unless they like paid them off or something.
Yeah, right.
Like, there's no reason for them to allow him to have some kind of barrier where they can't see into the cell, especially if he's a convicted murderer, or both of them are.
Yeah, exactly.
The Department of Corrections disputed the findings of the reports, saying in a statement it had conducted a thorough and complete investigation from the very beginning. Oh, I mean, well, if they say so.
Right.
But the attorney for Romero's family, Justin Sterling, said the reports outline the department's veil of secrecy that obscures officer misconduct. The idea that my client had to sue in order to get basic questions answered about her son's death is disheartening, Sterling said. The guards were meant to check the cell every so often, Sterling said, and the crime would have taken hours to commit. If the guards had been doing their required checks, Romero would be alive today, he said.
I kind of doubt that. Kind of doubt that. You can stab him a bunch of times and kill him between them walking around.
Well, yeah, he might not have gotten the head off or into the... He
might not have had as much fun because I'm not... If this dude's... beheading and dissecting, like he's doing some kind of ritual, I'm sure.
Yeah, that part of it he might not have gotten to, but yeah, I think he still could have killed him. Romero, who had spent 27 years in prison, was put in the cell with Osuna after arriving from Mule Creek State Prison, according to the lawsuit. He was convicted of second-degree murder after fatally shooting a woman in Compton when he was a teenager and associating with gang members. He was nearing parole eligibility.
His yeah, they're not going to let him out.
Well, he's dead now.
Well, if he was alive, he's a murderer with gang connections. They're not going to give him parole.
I mean, that was 27 years ago, though. Like maybe he found Jesus or something.
It's too bad they don't have a picture of the other guy because I guarantee he looks just like the guy that killed him.
Possibly.
And then you'd be like, oh, maybe you're right.
Who knows?
But, or like you saw Three from Hell, right? Where Baby's at her parole hearing.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, you've killed 38 people and have 157. No, that's 158 infractions now. That's not something you're proud of, Baby. It's not. They were going to kill me.
I really liked that movie. I know some people didn't like it for some reason, but I thought it was a good movie.
Oh, it was great. Yeah.
I like Clint Howard in that movie as the clown.
Gotta have a clown.
I'm funny. Like, clowns,
don't ya? Aren't we funny?
One of my favorite lines out there is in that movie is so like they're holding the warden and his wife and another couple hostage, Otis and the Wolf Man, whatever the fucking other guy's name was. I forgot.
Positively Wolfie.
And this clown shows up. I don't know if he's at the wrong house or if they hired him or what. And Otis is like, all right, clown, make her laugh. Otherwise, I'm going to kill you. And like, he's trying to do his act and he's like super nervous. And like, she just starts crying. And he's like, I'm funnier than you think.
But I like Otis laughed when he pissed himself.
Oh, that's right. He wanted to, so Otis wanted
like,
to.
Damn it, he made me laugh.
You killed him anyways. I'm funnier than you think.
Oh, gosh, that's great.
I think of that every time I say something that's funny to me and nobody laughs about it. I'm like, come on, man. I'm funnier than you think. Like, that's funnier than you think it is.
It's too bad Captain Spaulding died and was almost dead by the time they filmed that movie finally.
Oh, he looked so bad in that movie. Like, he was dying for a while by the time they got him in there.
I went to the show where they had the behind the scenes after it because they had three nights. I forget what the first one was. It was like a poster giveaway. The second one was behind the scenes and the third one was something else. But
I think they did a double feature on the third one.
Yeah, I think they did Devil's Rejects and then they went right into that one. But yeah, they said Captain Spall. I can't think of his real fucking name. But
Sid Haig.
Sid Haig, yeah. They had to rewrite it because his health kept going way down. You know, he was going to be the third guy again throughout the whole movie, but then they, had to narrow it to that jailhouse interview before, he got executed, which is kind of funny, because they were showing all the bullet wounds from the end of Devil's Reject. It was like 150 bullet wounds and all of them or something. It was crazy.
Yeah, I saw it in the theater too, and I went when they did the behind the scenes feature at the end. But like, somebody showed up in the theater dressed as Captain Spaulding, full costume and makeup, and he was the only one like who dressed up. And then when Sid Haig was on screen, this lady sitting in the row next to me goes, every time they showed him because he's dead. Like, I get it, he's dead, but like, fuck.
Yeah, I thought he had lived just to right after it came out, but maybe I'm wrong in the timing. Maybe it was just before.
I think he died before. Yeah, he died before it came out for sure, because I know for a fact he was dead by the time I went to see it, because
no one really dressed up in my theater, but there's two hot chicks in the row in front of me that kind of looked like they were going to a Rob Zombie concert, but everyone else was pretty normal otherwise.
Yeah, those are the two things that I remember besides the movie from going to see it in the theater.
It was fun. I wish they would do kind of an event like that again, but not many movies are like, we're only going to come out for 3 days on a Monday, Tuesday, and a Wednesday.
Yeah. And I think, it's because I think it wasn't like a major studio release. So I don't know if Rob Zombie paid for it himself to release that way. But I know Kevin Smith did the same thing with the Jay and Silent Bob reboot movie.
But yeah, I think that did have a major movie release, though, afterwards.
No, I don't think it did. I think it was just they did three dates and that was it.
Oh, okay. Well, that was one I wasn't planning on seeing at the theater anyways.
Yeah, I didn't go. The problem with those ones is like I'm on the AMCA list and it's excluded from that because it's a Fathom event and they charge like $15 to go see it.
Right, yeah. I did like that movie. I rented it from Netflix. I did enjoy it, even though it's almost a copy of the original one.
I think that, well, is that the point?
That was kind of the gimmick, though, for this movie.
Yeah. I haven't watched it yet.
But there was enough where it was enjoyable. You know, you have a little bit of nostalgia, and then, you know, they're still trying to stop the movie from being made another movie.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. I've heard other people just hated it. They didn't think it was funny at all. But
I went in with super low expectations. It was a rental, like, you know, it's whatever, $20 a month I pay. So it was already something I was paying for. I was like, yeah, fuck it. We'll watch it.
I think it's on Amazon Prime now, so I could watch it, you know, for free. But I don't know. Is it fate worse than being the new cellmate of Jaime Osuna?
I don't know. We should probably keep going because it's talking about how he cut him up here. I'm kind of intrigued on that.
His new cellmate Osuna is serving a life sentence for the killing and torture of Yvette Pena, 37, at a Bakersfield motel in 2011. With face tattoos and flair for Charles Manson-like satanic antics, he became a dark figure during the 2017 trial, mocking the victim's family and bragging to a television news reporter of his love of torturing people.
I was waving at the family in that picture then.
Yeah. Sometime in the early hours of March 9th, 2019, Osuna methodically tortured and killed Romero, authorities said. Using a razor-style blade attached to a handle, Osuna disfigured Romero, cutting out one of his eyes, chopping off one of his fingers, and removing part of his ribs and slicing out part of his lung. He ultimately cut off his head. He also posed the body, slicing Romero's face open on either side of his mouth to resemble an extended smile, according to an autopsy. I mean, were they showing... I mean, this was before Joker came out. But then again, I suppose
Dark Knight came out. Oh, 08, yeah. But, yeah, that would take a while. And how did he take advantage of this guy? Like, was the guy sleeping and he just got him in his sleep?
He must have.
I mean, there would have been a struggle before he just was like, oh, I'm going to cut your finger off. I'm going to cut out your eye.
Well, I wonder if he sliced his neck first and then, he hit an artery or something, bled him out real quick. And then
this next article says, not the article, but paragraph. Well, first of all, it says guards found Osuna wearing a necklace made of Romero's body parts. That's fucking wild. Kings County Executive Assistant District Attorney. Wow, that's a hell of a title. Phil Esbenshade? Esbenshade? I don't know how to say that. Called it the most heinous slaying he's ever seen. We do believe the victim was conscious during at least a portion of the time, it said.
Oh, my God. Maybe he tied him to the bed or something.
Yeah, that was what I was just going to say. Like, he must have tied him up, you know. Maybe knocked him unconscious, tied him up, and then woke him up. It's like, hey, we're going to have some fun.
Maybe stuff something down his mouth so he couldn't scream.
Yeah. Well, I wonder how long they, the guard walking around, you know, how long is it between? Like, they're not there every 5 minutes. Like,
yeah,
this guy must have made some good work.
Well, like, maybe, I mean, did the people in the cells next to them not hear it?
Like, well, they're not going to rat nobody out.
They're like, you know, I don't want to get anybody in trouble, but can you do a wellness check on my buddy next door?
But I don't think they have bars in between. I think there's cement walls with one of those big doors. You've seen like some of the prison docks before, right? Where they have the little window and they're looking through. So maybe it's kind of like a soundproof cell, potentially.
Maybe. That could be it. Yeah. I just can't imagine Because this would have taken forever.
But if this guy is like cutting out a rib and part of a lung and an eye, like, would you rat him out? Fuck no. Like, they'll put him in my cell next week. Like, oh, hey, he needs a new roommate. This one died.
Well, if it starts smelling, maybe they'd be like, hey, you know, something smells over there.
But, oh, I don't know.
But yeah. They got open toilets anyway, so maybe they wouldn't notice. But, I mean, just, I don't know how he strung up a necklace of body parts. like that's a very strange thing to do.
Right.
Osuna had never had a cellmate until Romero arrived 2 days earlier. Well, I guess, you know, maybe you should have considered that before you put somebody in there. During his stint in a Kern County detention facility, he had been found with hatchets and other weapons and was deemed a high-risk staff assaultive threat to guards, according to the lawsuit. In one incident, Osuna found his way into another inmate's cell where he stabbed and slashed his face, resulting in 67 stitches, the lawsuit says. When prison officials requested to photograph the inmate's injuries, he declined, noting that he didn't want to risk Osuna getting copies of the photos and adding them to his collection of trophies, court records show.
This guy's in prison and they're afraid of taking pictures because this guy's going to make a trophy out of it. Like, don't give him the goddamn picture then. Who's going to give him the picture?
Well, how did he get in that dude's cell in the first place?
Like, right.
Throw him in the hole or give him the death sentence or something.
Well, how did he get hatchets?
Yeah, like, I don't... Something's not right with all the stuff this guy's getting away with. Regular safety checks are considered an essential duty of prison guards who must monitor the health of inmates and prevent assaults or suicides. Questionable behavior by guards has come under scrutiny in a New York case involving Jeffrey Epstein, who hanged himself in his prison, in his prison cell while being held on child sex trafficking charges. Which I think the guards in that case actually changed their story and admitted that they like fell asleep or like skipped their fucking rounds that night.
Yeah, that was convenient. And then somehow turned the cameras off at the same time too.
It was like a year later, you know, like, oh, I guess it's okay to talk now. And Romero's, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, did they ever charge Epstein's girlfriend? Like, she's been sitting in prison for a while. Like, did they ever, like, conclude her trial?
No.
Did they even start it?
No. She's been charged, but as far as I know, the trial hasn't started. And I think they were holding her in isolation, like solitary or whatever.
Yeah.
Her attorneys were trying to get them to, like, either put her in general pop or... release her, but they thought she was like a flight risk and like a safety risk if they put her with other inmates.
Well, I'm sure she's got some of Epstein's stashed money from somewhere when he died.
Never mind. I think she's also probably a suicide risk too.
Right.
A quote suicide risk.
You see that one guy on TikTok that went to Epstein's Island and was taking pictures? He couldn't get in that fucking blue stripe building, though. Apparently, they had that under lock and guard, though, still.
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, it's fucking weird.
Should ask, did you know Bill Gates was asking him for advice on how to divorce his wife?
I knew they were buddies, and that's why the wife left Bill Gates, but yeah, I didn't.
It came out after they revealed that they're getting divorced that he had asked Epstein for advice on to leave his wife. And it also came out that Bill Gates basically fucked every female Microsoft employee. And that's why he was kind of, you know, forced to resign as CEO or whatever.
That's crazy. I wonder if that was the same with Ballmer that owns the Clippers now. Because he left Microsoft at the top too.
I don't know. I thought he had some kind of like personal thing with Gates or something, or they couldn't get along anymore. But I could be wrong. I could be wrong.
They're banging the same secretary, probably. But when you just have $2 bill of pocket cash to go buy an NBA team, I mean, you're doing all right.
Yeah, and he was he didn't even get a discount. He bought it from, what was his name, Rod Serling or whatever his name was.
Well, he outbid the next guy by $1 billion because he wanted it so bad. But now look at the teams, like the Cowboys were worth $10 billion and like the Knicks were $5 billion or some major market team was super high like that.
Yeah, I think he was like the first one to pay over $1 billion for a franchise. But yeah, I was coming off that the former owner got caught for being racist, and then they basically said that he was mentally incapable of running the team anymore.
Didn't he tell his girlfriend it's okay to go bang the black guys, but just don't bring him home or something like that?
He says, don't bring him to the games. It's like, I don't want anybody seeing you courtside with a black person at my arena.
Wow. How do people think like that? That's so crazy.
I think his girlfriend was the first to wear one of them face shields too.
Yeah, I can't remember who the girlfriend was anymore, but
she was just like some stripper or something. Like, she wasn't even like famous.
I'm surprised Donald Sterling hasn't died yet.
I even too. I didn't know he was still alive. But
I think he's still alive. I think we would have heard about it if he croaked.
Probably. We don't have too much longer on this article. According to the Inspector General's reports, the two officers falsely reported that they had observed Romero alive. Additionally, a third and fourth officer did not report they had each seen the first two officers fail to properly conduct the counts. According to one of the reports, documents did not identify the prisoner incident, but used dates corresponding with Romero's slaying. The report also criticizes the prison department's internal affairs investigation, said that the first officer lied during the internal affairs interview, and that the special agent in charge of the investigation did not interview several key witnesses. The agent also did not investigate whether it was appropriate to place the two killers together in a cell, according to the report. The Inspector General's reports also took issue with the disciplinary measure taken against two of the officers who were on duty. According to a case summary of the investigation obtained by the Times, one officer accused of lying to the internal affairs agent was initially fired, and the salary of the second officer was cut 5% for 3 years. But after the officers appealed to the state personnel board, the department reached a settlement. The first officer's dismissal was reduced to a 9-month suspension, and the second officer's salary reduction was reduced to 24 months, the case summary shows. The department's handling of the case was poor, the Inspector General's office said. In the OIG's opinion, the special agent continually resisted the recommendations of the department attorney regarding conducting interviews and obtaining evidence, the report said. Osuna has been transferred to Salinas Valley State Prison's psychiatric inpatient program. He has been diagnosed with unspecified schizophrenia spectrum, antisocial personality disorder, and borderline personality disorder. A judge has ruled that Osuna is not competent to stand trial for Romero's death.
So now he can fly over the cuckoo's nest.
Now he's truly like the Joker. He's in Arkham Asylum, and he'll be there until he escapes, and then he'll meet Batman again.
Right. Why did they think he was confident to stand trial for that original murder? I mean, this is what he looked like at the beginning.
I mean, yeah, I don't know what he did to that first person that he killed, but if it's anything like what he did to this other murderer, like, yeah, he's got some mental issues. I can't imagine fucking dissecting another human, like, never mind killing another human being, but decapitating and dissecting and then pulling different body parts out to make jewelry.
That's like Ed Gein shit right there.
It's fucked up, man. Yeah, so hopefully this guy rots for the rest of his life. And it's almost too bad that he's not competent and they sent him to the loony bin. But he probably should get the death sentence.
Yeah, this is one of those people that need the death penalties. They don't necessarily need to kill everybody, because the death penalty does kill a lot of innocent people, I think, in the end, is or basically what they say. But this guy's clearly fucked up. Like, he's not gonna get better, and he's just gonna be
No.
violent his whole fucking life.
Yeah, there doesn't appear to be any rehabilitating this guy. So, I mean, at least, I guess, silver lining is he killed another murderer, but the first victim, obviously, much more sad.
I'm curious if they would have gave the dude parole. So they said he was pretty close, but I mean, I don't feel too bad about him killing another murderer, to be honest.
No, but maybe they need to purge, do the purge in the jail cell,
Right.
in the prison.
Feels like it's been a while since we had a good riot in the prison.
Like the end of Natural Born Killers, maybe in
Where's Shawshank Redemption? I think that was a riot, if I remember that
I don't recall. Or maybe Human Centipede 3, which was by far the worst of the Human Centipede movies. Like, not
That
even like.
Warden was the guy from Three from Hell, I think. I think that's the same one.
No, the warden in Human Centipede 3 was the doctor from Human Centipede 1.
Well, maybe it's not the Warden. It's I'm pretty sure he was in that movie too.
Like, Human Centipede 3 wasn't even like a gross out movie. It was like a satire that wasn't funny.
The guy. No, I was wrong. He's not in that one. But he was in that Dr. Pepper commercial where they're trying to make it sugar free and they were in the vault for 15 years. And the son was like, "I'm so proud of you, Dad. It's so great."
Come you never texted
Oh,
me?
he was the son, actually. That's what it was.
Oh. Anyway, well, I think we got all kinds of off topic on a lot of these stories. So, I think we need to wrap this episode up before we start rambling again. Thanks everybody for listening. Make sure you're subscribed to the podcast. Tell your friends to give it a listen. And if you're on Apple Podcasts, give us a 5-star rating and review. If you're on Twitter, follow me at PositivelyWolf1 and follow Brother Clint at Brother_Clint. If you want to email the show, you can reach us at PositivelyWolfie@Comcast.net. Thanks again for listening and have a great day.